Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
US markets with big losses after Russia attacked the Ukraine last week, but Wall Street already tried to rebound from the losses. How should investors navigate through the crisis? This is the IG Trading Talk, and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining us are Salah Edilboumidi. He's the head of markets at IG. Today he's at the Euronext in Amsterdam. And also joining us is Peter Tuckman. He's the Einstein of Wall Street, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, guys. So good to see you.
Good to see you, guys.
Great to see you.
Peter, we saw the losses last week. Markets are already trying to stabilize. What's the bigger problem? The war, or is it maybe the fear of higher inflation, higher prices for gas and oil? And yeah, maybe that the US Central Bank, Fed, has to react faster in this case.
So look, there are a lot of moving parts. Great question. It's a complicated answer. There are a lot of moving parts going on in the market right now. Let's be clear that the first 7 weeks of 2022, if we've learned anything, is that volatility is here to stay, that finally, after being on the menu for three, four more months, the story about the taper and the interest rate raises, you know, which we've heard about before, but for some reason, the market has not chose to engage until 2022, are definitely things that are catalyzing the whole situation, obviously, once again, involved in the geopolitical global crisis with Ukraine and the Soviet Union. So, look, I'm not really sure which story is the hardest to do. The invasion of the Ukraine, which did happen last week, we're not sure what the outcome will be. But clearly, there is an old Wall Street adage, is that the anticipation of a geopolitical crisis or confrontation is basically the time to sell. And once the bombs start to fall, basically the market's anxiety is no longer warranted and it's time to buy the market back. And as we saw last week, that it's sell the rumor, buy the news, in anticipation of the longest imminent invasion of even history. Once the attack actually commenced, the market it seemed to have rebounded. Is it going to carry on? I'm not sure. How is this going to affect the Federal Reserve in their posturing? We are 2 weeks away for what has been called a potential, the first shock and awe raising of interest rates that we've had for a long time. Is it going to be 50 basis points? Is it going to be one full point? Are we going to rip off the Band-Aid and just have a shock and awe moment? Or is the confrontation and the situation with Ukraine and Russia going to affect the timeline and the radical aggressiveness of the Federal Reserve's posture?
Let's keep an eye on the chart of the week, Salah. You brought us a cryptocurrency. The Bitcoin was very volatile the last weeks as well. What can we see here on the chart?
It's not coincidence that I took today, I choose the chart of the week as Bitcoin, because we had, through this invasion in Ukraine, a shock on the market, everybody knows. And this is actually the time when safe havens get a trigger. And we had a lot of times discussion of whether is Bitcoin the new safe haven. And to be honest, last week it was a disappointment. It was not the trust that we have seen, because Bitcoin was dropping while the classical safe havens like Japanese yen, Swiss francs, US dollar, and of course the classic gold have been trending. So this is actually something which is showed also on the chart. The pullbacks to the moving averages from the downside have been always in the last, since December, always signaling a selling signal. And it was again this week, that that we have seen this pullback heading to the moving averages and going back to the downside. And if we break below 28,000, then we would actually continue this downside pressure.
You know what, guys? I think it's really fascinating to note what's going on. We've never seen this movie before, right? Look, we've had other confrontations, Afghanistan, Iraq, with the U.S. in different war situations around the world, and we've seen how they affect the markets. And classically, geopolitical confrontations and or wars do not have a prolonged effect on the market. There's usually a fast and furious reaction, but there's no follow through. But right now, we really need to understand that we are we're in uncharted territory, guys. We are in 2 years into a pandemic. We are trying to come out of a pandemic. We have massive supply chain issues. We've got massive inflation in the U.S. We've got a confrontation with Ukraine and Russia, the largest, one of the largest powers in the world. We've got surging oil prices coming into $100. We've got the Chinese government standing behind Russia to a certain extent, although we did see last Friday that President Xi did sort of separate himself from the situation because he has his own story going on with Taiwan. And I'm not sure he really wants to be in bed with Mr. Putin about that, that could affect his relationships with the rest of the economies of the world. Those are the moving parts to begin with. Then we have the moving parts of a country, the United States, trying to come out of a pandemic with the tapering going coming on the table. And what we've seen now between JP Morgan and the other banks saying that we've got 4, 6, 8, as many as 9 interest rate raises coming in 2022. Nobody anticipated the grand scale of the invasion that we saw start last week. We don't know how it's going to live itself out in the coming weeks. We did not anticipate that. We knew there would be a look. The last $10 of the rally in oil definitely had to do with the confrontation in Russia. But surely oil was already on its rise as all commodities and services have gone up within the inflation story in the United States. We have seen in 2022, the market finally engaged the story that high growth stocks are going to be impacted. We've been in denial. High growth stocks are impacted in a higher interest rate environment. It's a no-brainer. It's the way things are. And so while this has been on the menu since September, for some reason, we have seen some ebb and flow of the NASDAQ sector. But since 2022, engaging the story about the interest rate raises, we have seen NASDAQ in bear territory. At one point, it was down 14% and whatnot. I think it's important for us to note that the technicals, we always talk about technicals with Manuel and with Salah, that what did happen on Thursday, the night after the invasion, the markets, look, we talk about a capitulation, right? You know, that there is a point where markets start to break down. There is a point where the markets break through technical support. And then there is what we call a capitulation. What we saw happen, the invasion started on Thursday night. By Thursday morning, on Wednesday night, by Thursday morning in the capital markets here in the United States, the market was down almost 1,200 points. We did see a massive surge in capitulation and sell-off in the VIX, and we did see the RSI get to a level of 10 in the S&P 500. That is an oversold position. So we had the anticipation of the interest rate raises. We had the interest rate engagement of the taper. We did have the imminent invasion for 6 weeks plus. We did have finally the actual invasion, and we actually saw the capitulation. And when that happened, you do see the buyers and the bulls come into the marketplace. We did see that happen on Thursday. We did see it follow through on Friday. And guys, this is an extraordinary time. This is an extraordinary movie that I don't think we've ever seen with, as I've described to you, we've seen crisis. We've seen consolidation. We've seen interest rate raises. We've seen inflation. But the perfect storm that is happening now in global markets and in the U.S. market and in the geopolitical environment and landscape, I don't think we've ever seen anything in my lifetime like it.
Peter, thank you very much for your insights on the markets. Maybe let's go back to the chart of the week again. Let's talk about Bitcoin. Coinbase, a big cryptocurrency trading platform, reported numbers. They were really good for the last quarter, but the outlook was not that good or worse than investors expected. What do you make out of this? Is maybe the peak of the Bitcoin behind us?
Are you asking me the question?
Yes, sir.
You know, look, I'm fascinated by, let's be clear, guys, we have seen that the favorites of 2020 and 2021 are no longer the favorites. And as much a rational enthusiasm that we saw in indices, in crypto, and in a lot of these high-flying names that were sort of helped us navigate our way through COVID, when they are done with them, they are ruthlessly abandoned. like an old girlfriend or a boyfriend, guys. I mean, it is really ruthless. Let us bring up, look, my chart of the week would have to be so many of the names that were the favorites, whether it's Peloton, whether it's Roku, whether it's Affirm, whether it's Facebook, whether it's PayPal. It's unbelievable that the high-flying names that were the favorites of 2021, right, that were in this state of high, frothy valuations, and even Tesla at 1,200, even Google at 3,300. Some of these names, guys, have been cut in half and even more, right? And it's fascinating. We saw it with Coinbase. We saw it with crypto. People could not get enough of Bitcoin at 69,000, but at 28 and 35,000, you're wondering, where do you go with these things, right? Affirm was a stock trading in the couple hundred dollars, is now trading below that. Your Facebook, which was obviously one of the great favorites and whatnot, got down to 209, got down to 190 on Friday and Thursday and Friday of last week. PayPal, one of the great recommendations of our friend Mr. Kramer, has gone down 100 points over the last 2 weeks. So, you know what? Look, this market does not take any prisoners. Technical analysis, once again, is the greatest defense against the volatility. When they love them, they love them, they love them to death. They love them, you know, it's a bar of chocolate and a dozen roses. But when they don't like them anymore, this market is ruthless. You get cut off. It is a divorce. You don't get any money. Goodbye and good luck. I never want to see you again. So it's amazing. Coinbase, look, we also see that price action is the ultimate determinant in the entry and the exit point in a stock, guys. And even though Coinbase did beat on earnings, the guidance is a big factor of the narrative that goes on. We've seen that in a number of names. But you have to realize, though, too, guys, that there's the expectations and there's the reality. I'm not there. Look, a lot of these companies have a lot of difficulty predicting the earnings and predicting the guidance in a world that has COVID, that has Omicron, that has global geopolitical wars going on. We've got so much going on, guys. And so for me, and I know Salah too, technical analysis is the only defense against this, guys, that you can come out, you can have a company, we've seen it time and time again, beat on earnings, beat on guidance, they come out and they go down 50 points, right? This is not your grandfather's stock market. When they don't like them, or, you know, there's a lot of different players in the game. We can have a company beat on earnings, beat on guidance, come out and go down 50 points. I don't understand it. I am forever a student of the market, guys. I think this is a big learning curve right now.
Peter, fertilizer prices are skyrocketing since almost 1 year, and natural gas has a huge correlation because you need natural gas to create fertilizers and then to create your crop. So we need it for food. And if this is skyrocketing, then we have, of course, a high probability that in the future, food can even be more expensive than it is. So it will drive inflation, of course. What do you think about these concerns? Is there something what you will share with us?
You know what, guys? I am fascinated. I am sorry for the music in the background. I guess that's the inflation story music. Look, guys, we are in a reality here where inflation is here to stay. There's nothing we can do about it. I know a lot of people on the right side of the fence here in the United States blame Joe Biden for it, but it cannot be blamed on Joe Biden. You have to realize, and we've spoken about it many, many times, we had no playbook for a pandemic. We had no playbook for coming out of a pandemic. The only way that companies were able to sustain themselves besides the stimulus package they got from the government was to shut down when there was no demand. And now we are reopening our lives and you have to grease the engines and you have to get back online. There's going to be inflation. It happens. It's part of the economic cycle. And so at the end of the day, right now, goods and services have gone up. Energy sector has gone up in a big way. Prices for everything from plywood to milk have skyrocketed. And you just gave us a real explanation of one of the reasons why the price of food is going to go up, because food doesn't just come out of the air. Food right. has to be grown. In order for it to be grown, you have to have the soil. In order for the soil to be viable, you need the fertilizers. In order to produce the fertilizers, you need methane. And all of these components and correct. Commodities that go into the making and growing of a strawberry, a tomato, or the milk and the cheese to eat, are everything is going up. And so inflation is across the board, guys. And I don't think we need to spend any time blaming someone for it. It is our reality coming out of a pandemic, and we're going to have to deal with it. Is it here to stay? I think it's here for a while. Is it transitional? I don't really want to use that word because Mr. Powell used the word transitional, and he's never heard the end of it. So right now, the price of goods and services have gone up. It's a function of a world coming out of a pandemic. We've never gone through this before. It is here to stay. Everybody has to hunker down. Everyone has to get up and go back to work. In the United States, we have a labor force that are quitting jobs in a record period of time. We have a labor force where there's a huge demand. People are willing to pay more for the labor force. People need to get up, put on their big boy pants, and get back to work so they can make a little more money, getting paid a little more per hour, and be able to afford the life to support their families the way they are. It's just our reality now, guys. We don't like it. We don't want it. It's here to stay for a while. Everyone's got to deal with it.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you so much for this week's insights. Appreciate it a lot. Salih Dean Boumidi, the head of markets at IG, and Peter Tuckman, the Einstein of Wall Street, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk for this week. More information on IG.com. Thanks for watching. All the best.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.